This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, President Bush promised to veto the Iraq War funding bill sent to him by the Senate. Democratic presidential candidates gathered in South Carolina for their first debate and placed blame for the war squarely on the president. And former CIA Director George Tenet writes about his role in the run-up to that war. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Dan.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dan. And when the president vetoes this war funding bill, as he's expected to within a few days, as he's promised to, where will the Congress and the president go?
Where they'll go? Well, they'll go in two directions, I think. First of all, there's going to be a meeting of administration people and people from the Hill to see if they can make any progress towards drafting a new resolution. That's not going to happen, apparently. So then the next thing is they each go back into their corners and decide what the next strategy is. The Democrats say they will have a new bill by July 1st. By saying by July 1st, they're indicating they're going to put some pressure on, I guess, by holding back for a while and see whether that produces anything. Beyond that, no one knows.
Because the president had indicated that he thought there were some serious effects that could be forthcoming before July if a new funding bill wasn't passed.
Yes, indeed. He had said that first he gave a date of May 1st. Now there's a date in June. And he's indicated that if they don't get the money by that time, that there will be terrible things happening to our soldiers over there. Each has a way of exerting pressure, and we will see a lot of pressure exerted in the next couple of weeks.
On that subject of Iraq, George Tenet, the former CIA director, has a new book coming out on Monday. He says that his phrase, slam dunk, which has been reported, I think initially, gets back to Bob Woodward's book about the war, has been taken out of context and cited as the definitive phrase that took the nation to war. How do you read these differing accounts?
Well, you know, if in his mind what he was saying to the president is that it's going to be very easy to explain to Americans what's going on here, and that's a slam dunk, okay, that's what he has to say. Part of his problem, however, is that he was having to work with people like Vice President Dick Cheney, whom he blames for most of what went wrong. And so we're having here, as we wind down from this war, we're going to have, I think, for a long time to come, slam dunk, yes, no. What did Cheney do? Why were they so mad at each other?
We should explain it in another segment of today's show. We speak with John McLaughlin, who was Mr. Tenet's deputy at the CIA. And he says that Mr. Tenet was merely saying he was confident enough evidence could be declassified to prove that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction.
Okay. That's today's story.
Democratic presidential hopefuls held their first debate in Orangeburg, South Carolina on Thursday, first of many debates before the Iowa caucuses next year, my gosh, January 14th. Did you notice anything in particular in this lineup?
Well, what struck me, having seen many, many presidential debates over a very long period of time, is that nobody seemed to criticize anybody else. It was all sweetness and light. And I think if the Democrats can do that, I think they're going to make a couple of great points. I don't know how long that will last, but it's strange to say there's no specific thing that any of them said that sounded new to me or made the front page. The news in it for me was all these Democrats and nobody's criticizing anybody.
Did anybody among what's called the second or third tier of candidates, which is to say below Senators Obama, Clinton, and former Senator Edwards, have an unexpectedly large impact?
I don't know. I have not seen the polls on that. And I'll be able to tell you that after I've seen what they have to say in the papers.
You may not know this, Dan, but that's what football coaches say after a big game on Sunday.
Of course.
They ask him, what about that? And they say, I'll have to take a look at the tape. I'll tell you later.
Where do you think I got my analysis style?
We certainly want to note the passing this week of former Russian President Boris Yeltsin.
Yes.
Remembered for so much, I think, certainly the image he strikes in history of standing atop a tank outside of the Kremlin. How will he be remembered?
There are two kinds of Yeltsin. There is the one who boldly stepped out and practically overthrew the Gorbachev government. And if anybody, any one person is responsible for the end of the Soviet Union, it was Yeltsin, because Gorbachev, who preceded him, was interested in trying to reform the Soviet system but keep it. Yeltsin wouldn't let him do that. The other side is the fellow who drank too much and somehow made a very bad impression when he came here to the White House. But, you know, he sort of can't have everything. Nixon went to see him and pronounced his name Yeltsin. I always remember that. But the fact is that he is an important figure in history, flawed by his personal habits.
Vladimir Putin, his successor, announced this week that he's suspending Russia's compliance with a NATO treaty that regulates the number and type of conventional weapons in Europe.
Yeah.
He says in response to the U.S. plans to build a missile defense system in Europe.
Right.
Did this conflict essentially reenact the Cold War?
On a very small scale so far, yes. They've only suspended their compliance with the arms treaty, which they were signed after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was a treaty with NATO. Putin is interested more than anything else in establishing respect for Russia. They're doing well economically, they're doing famously, but Putin says, we want respect.
And, of course, we have to note this week the passing of our friend David Halberstam.
David Halberstam simply typified a generation of journalists that will not see again. He started this country on his way out of Vietnam. No other reporter I've ever known could say that I was the first instrumental person in ending a war. And, you know, look.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure, Scott.